Now verse 3, and I'm reading now chapter 11 of Daniel. And a mighty king shall stand up, that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. Now the mighty king here is Alexander the Great, who came to power in 335 B.C. over the Greco-Macedonian Empire, and he put down Persia, and he assumed world dominion. I'm reading now verse 4. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not to his posterity, nor according to his dominion which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others beside those. Now, Alexander the Great was a world ruler, probably the greatest military strategist the world's ever seen. But he died an alcoholic in 323 B.C. Now, his own posterity did not inherit his vast kingdom. Four of his generals divided the empire into four geographical areas over which each ruled. Now, the division was roughly this. Cassander took Macedonia, and Lysimachus took Asia Minor, what is today modern Turkey. And Seleucus Nicator, he took Syria and a great deal of the Middle East. And Ptolemy took Egypt. Now, that's the four families. They eventually lost their kingdoms. They warred among themselves, as we shall see. But they lost their kingdoms when the Romans marched east. Now, I'm reading verse 5. And the king of the south shall be strong, and one of his princes, and he shall be strong above him, and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion. Now, we are talking about the king of the south. South of what? Los Angeles? Or Chicago? Or New York? No. When the Bible speaks of the south, it's always south of Palestine. It's south of what we call Bible lands. It's south of the nation Israel. North is north of the nation Israel. Now, south then would be, of course, Egypt. And Ptolemy would be the king of the south. And it refers to him as the king of the south. And the one specifically mentioned here is evidently Ptolemy Lagus. And after this, there was a gap in the historical record. Now, beginning with verse 6, and I'm reading again, and in the end of years, they shall join themselves together, for the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement, but she shall not retain the power of the arm, neither shall he stand, nor his arm, but she shall be given up, and they that brought her, and he that begat her, and he that strengthened her in these times. Now the king of the north refers to the line of the Seleucidae. And this verse brings us up to about 250 B.C. Now, let me tell you some of the manipulation, some of the workings that went on in the courts of that day. And this is according to history, fulfills this prophecy, which is quite literal. There was an alliance formed between these two warring families. Ptolemy Philadelphus, son of Ptolemy Lagus, gave his daughter Berenice in marriage to Antiochus Theos of Syria. And Antiochus was already married to Laodice, whom he divorced. Then Ptolemy Philadelphus died. Then Antiochus Theos, he took back his first wife, Laodice. She in turn poisoned Berenice and her son, and she poisoned Antiochus Theos and put her son Seleucus Callinicus on the throne. My friend, there is some juggling around that took place in that day. It's interesting how all this is covered here in prophecy. Verse 7, and I'm reading, but out of a branch of her root shall one stand up in his estate, which shall come with an army. He shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north, and shall deal against them, and shall prevail. Now this was Ptolemy Euergetes, brother of Berenice. He came with an army and captured Syria and he sees the fort, which was the port of Antioch in that day. Now, verses 8 and 9, I'm reading again. And shall also carry captives into Egypt, their gods, their princes, and with their precious vessels of silver and of gold, and he shall continue more years than the king of the north. So the king of the south shall come into his kingdom and shall return to his own land. Now, Ptolemy Euergetes, he took into Egypt as booty 4,000 talents of gold, 40,000 talents of silver, and 2,500 idols. See how all of this has been literally fulfilled. Verses 10 through 13 now, I'm reading. But his sons shall be stirred up, and shall assemble a multitude of great forces, and one shall certainly come, and overflow, and pass through. Then shall he return, and be stirred up, even to his fortress. The king of the south shall be moved with choler or anger, and he shall come forth and fight with him, even with the king of the north. And he shall set forth a great multitude, but the multitude shall be given into his hand. And when he had taken away the multitude, his heart shall be lifted up. He shall be cast down many 10,000s, but he shall not be strengthened by it. For the king of the north shall return, and shall set forth a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come after certain years with a great army and with much riches. Now there was continual warfare between Egypt and Syria. And it was, and I'm not going into all the details here, but it's during this period that Israel seemed to make the wrong choice and found herself being made captive first by one and then by the other. Now verse 14, and in those times there shall many stand up against the king of the south. Also the robbers of thy people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision, but they shall fall. Now, many of the nation of Israel were slain at this particular time, and they incurred untold sufferings that came upon them from both the king of the north and the king of the south. And finally, a king of the north will arise, and he will be the one that we're going to have to wait and look at next time. But he is the one that is the picture, the type of Antichrist who is coming. This is a remarkable section. We'll continue on with that next time.